Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbear Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, what's going on, brother?
Hey, doing well, James. Thank you for asking. I think you asked. I don't know. I'm doing okay. It is Tuesday. We are recording. Last week we recorded 4 days late. Today we're recording 1 day early because you get to go to Wrigley Field tomorrow and watch my Cubs beat up on your Cincinnati Reds. I hope you're excited to spend money to watch that. I know you said, hey, now, because you voiced concerns or objections. Did you watch the end of the game last night? Did you?
So I couldn't actually watch the broadcast because for some reason MLB TV, that app decides to lift all blackouts except for the ones on the marquee network in Chicagoland, because for reasons that just frustrate me to no end. So I was listening to the radio broadcast and then watching the play-by-play, and going into the ninth inning, Stu, I had the text written.
Oh, did you?
I was waiting all night
for the text.
I had the Stu text written, and I feel like the fact that I actually wrote it is why I didn't get to send it. So that sucked, but it's going to be better tonight, and it's going to be even better tomorrow. And, you know, would you rather sweep in a 3-game series, or would you rather win a series 3-1? I think the Reds are going to win this series 3-1. So
why would you rather that than sweep?
Because that's a more realistic thing right now. Because we can't sweep because we lost yesterday and it's not a 3-game series. But anyway.
And the little thing about the Cubs being the better team, but with the momentum and the vibes and the Michael Confortos. Football, right. Right. We talk about football. We're talking about a lot of different teams. Take it away. Yeah.
All right. So we have our first divisional breakdown episode of the year. We are starting out with the NFC North, and today we're going to hit the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions, and next week we will get the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers. The order of the divisions that we scheduled this as, it was not out of favoritism. Yes, I am a Bears fan, and our last team we are covering in July, I think, is the Colts, which we are both fans of. But we ordered them based on salary cap space going into the start of the league year. The idea was that the teams with less cap space would have fewer changes to their lineup early in the season, so we could hit them and cover them and everything would be fine. And then the ones that were going to make more things happen and have the rosters change a little bit more, we would hit later in the season. It's at the end of the day, it's not really going to matter because we're going to hit all of the news and player movements and injuries and everything as it happens. But we are just going to take these next few months throughout the summer to talk about all of these players and get excited for this slow burn into the fantasy season. But before we do that, Dr. Stu, what are you drinking tonight?
So tonight I have from Taxman Brewing Company the Deduction, which is a Belgian style double ale. It is 7.2% alcohol by volume, 20 IBUs. It's easy to find because you can look at the can. It's the only one that's blue from Taxman. So Taxman's really prominent, at least where I live and have lived. This really brings me back to optometry school, because the only thing you do after you take a test that really, you know, bent you over the barrel and showed you the 50 states, you just go get drunk and you buy the cheapest stuff available, and Taxman's always pretty cheap, $7 or $8. So this is really bringing me back, but that is what I've got tonight for you. James, what are you drinking over there in Chicagoland?
Taxman is one that I always liked as well. I do miss a lot of the indie area breweries being up here in Chicagoland, but I do have one from the Chicagoland area here. This is one that, as I often do, I saw it sitting on the shelf at the grocery store, and I was like, come on, This is too, it's either too weird or too funny or what. And it's a combination of things that one of these things I really like, one of these things I really don't like, but the name is what ended up selling it for me. From Alter Brewing in Downers Grove, Illinois, I have for you Cukezilla versus Lime Kong. Let me say that again. Cukezilla versus Lime Kong. This is a cucumber lime Kolsch. And I love Kolsches. I love lime and beers in moderation. I am a big hater of cucumbers. I love pickles. I hate cucumbers. So I do not know what I'm going to think of this. But, Stu, let's crack these bad boys in 3, 2, 1. Did you get any beer on your microphone?
No, I did not. But I was really late cracking it because there was just so much to unpack with your last statement. I really thought you said Pukezilla. And then it wasn't until you started talking about cucumbers I was like, oh, Cukezilla. But also, of all these different things, you don't like cucumber? Cucumber, does it tastes like water.
I don't like cucumber. It has a weird taste to me.
I mean, the skin, yes. I will grant you the skin does not taste very good, but you can just peel your cucumbers, and there's a really healthy snack. You can put some peanut butter on it. It's pretty good.
Well, it does smell very strongly of both lime and cucumber.
I fear for you. I think this is going to be... It sounds really bad. Also, I'm a Godzilla over King Kong, 100%. I don't know how you feel about that, but Godzilla over King
100%
Kong.
100% every single day. Godzilla should wipe the floor with King Kong every
single
time. Yeah,
I'll take an atomic fire-breathing lizard over big gorilla guy any day. And I don't care how that movie portrays King Kong. Don't get me out. We're off topic again. I'm sorry.
We're 7 minutes into the episode, and we haven't talked about a single football
place. Another thing, take a drink every time we say Chicagoland in this episode, because it's been five times now already.
Oh, boy. All right, Stu, we're going to start off today with Chicagoland's favorite football team. That is the Chicago Bears. Go ahead and get us started wherever you would like to get us started, because there are a few players who are going to be more fantasy relevant this year than they were last year, and a few players going up and down in terms of at least perceived draft value today. So, Stu, hit it.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Bears overall are going to be one that people are, in my opinion, I think going to overdraft a little bit because we're projecting a lot of growth for these young guys. And we don't exactly know where they're going to fall, so we're thinking that, hey, these Colston Lovelands, these Luther Burdens are going to be really, really valuable, and they may very well be, but they're kind of going a little richly right now. This is also second year for Ben Johnson, which is, of course, the former Detroit Lions offensive coordinator, made a lot of noise coming over from Detroit to head up the Bears. Where do we want to start? I guess we could start with the guy in front, like Caleb Williams, the Iceman, or whatever he wants to call himself now. He did not become Chicago's first franchise 4,000-yard passer, but he did get darn close, coming in at 3,942 yards last year, 27 touchdowns, that's sixth in the league, 7 interceptions. He played well. He was a quarterback one. Honestly, it surprised me going through the 2025 season. I did not think he was a trustworthy asset. At this point, I would trust him as a draftable and startable week one quarterback one, so drafting in the top 12 of quarterbacks in 2026 drafts. It just may not be the first person I look at when drafts come. So he should be very, very good. He plays for a good coach. He has a good team around him. The offensive line was retooled last season, and that seemed to help a lot. And we'll get into their drafts picks this year. And they, you know, mostly went defense, but they did get another center in Logan Jones out of Iowa because their center that, didn't he retire? He got like a 4-year extension, then retired suddenly. I don't remember his name, but I'm sure you do. James, let me hear you about Caleb Williams.
All right. So this is this is going to be the first time I'm going to say this year. And I think this is the new hill I'm deciding to die on. The one last year was don't overdraft tight ends. I think this is going to be a big don't overdraft quarterbacks year. And it kind of fluctuates. Sometimes it's late round quarterback is the move. Sometimes you sell out for the Josh Allens and Lamar Jacksons of the world. This year, I think it, at least as I'm seeing the board, it looks like there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be overdrafted that should not be overdrafted. And I think we're a lot deeper in the league right now with young guys who are starting to get a little bit of consistency around them that you can afford to wait. Caleb Williams is a guy who falls currently into kind of a weird place with that. Being a third-year quarterback coming off of a breakout season, he's going to be a guy who a lot of people are going to look at with positive potential, which he absolutely does. It's really astronomical potential of what he could do this year. And I think if he ends up being drafted as the QB9, you're going to get a great deal out of that. However, I think that where he's going to go in terms of rounds, you don't want to take him in the fifth or sixth round. That feels like a big overpay to me, especially with guys we have who are falling further down the list. So he kind of falls in no man's land for me right now. If he falls to like the seventh round, I'd be excited about that. But where he is right now, I just think probably not. But moving right ahead, I want to talk about some running backs. And we saw some interesting stuff happening in the Bears running back depth chart last year. DeAndre Swift returns as the assumed starter with a guy who kind of showed out a little bit more than we thought about, or that we showed out more than we thought he would. That would be Kyle, the fun guy, Manungai. DeAndre Swift going into the season, or going to the offseason, projected as the RB24, and Kyle Manungai projected as the RB33. Both of those, I think, is probably right around where they deserve to go. DeAndre Swift, I think, is a guy who can be an RB1 on certain weeks, but probably should not be. He's going to be a guy who is going to be a flex if he starts at all in most lineups, I think. Even though he's projected as a late RB2, I don't really see him getting that, especially with Kyle Manungai becoming a little bit more proficient and with this Caleb Williams passing game developing a little bit more. Stu, thoughts from you?
Yeah, so the running back stable has some interesting dynamics to it. I mean, DeAndre Swift feels like he's been in the league for so long now. He's on his third team, and he's just the most, I swear, the most boring RB2 option. Like, if you just want to look at the opportunities split across the entirety of the season, you have DeAndre Swift, who's going to have a double-digit average for opportunities both in the carries department as well as the receptions. You're going to get somewhere 15-plus opportunities for him in each game. And that's great. That's valuable. But it's not going to be something that you're going out to try to get in your fantasy football drafts. If you go wide receiver heavy or you take a Trey McBride early, then sure, as an RB2, you could do a, you could do much worse than DeAndre Swift. It just depends on what you think is going to happen by the end of 2026. Manungai, we really didn't expect a whole lot, as you mentioned in your blurb. Over across the season, his opportunities were much less, somewhere between 10 and 15, so like a 60-65 to 40 or 35% split between the two. But now Manungai's going into his second season. He's had upwards of 100 yards. He got 176 yards rushing against the Bengals. Of course, that was the Bengals, and they had awful, awful defense. So if we try to project where they're going to go to, the younger guy in his second season, I might prefer to wait a couple rounds and get Manungai and see what happens over the course of the season and spend my picks, my more draft capital heavy picks, doing something else than going out and getting DeAndre Swift. But you could do truly a lot worse. There is merit in your fantasy draft to taking the boring option or perhaps the overlooked option in DeAndre Swift. So all up to exactly how you're feeling come draft day. They're both draftable and will have fantasy value going throughout 2026. And then we get to move into the new look wide receiver room, James. So out is the former number one overall option, DJ Moore. We mentioned before he was traded to the Buffalo Bills. He was kind of phased out of the offense. Anyway, we had one name, Rome Odunze, start off the season hot, hot as a firecracker, and then really fade towards the end of the season. And the other main option, being a rookie, and rookie wide receivers start slow, but Luther Burden really turns it on towards the end of the season. So a lot of fun discussion and discourse here to consider. Luther Burden is one of these names that people are, you know, around the fantasy football community expecting to take a huge leap forward come 2026 and are paying premium prices to go out and get him in their mocks and eventually probably their true drafts come later this fall. Talk to me about these guys, James. How are you feeling over there?
Concerned, I think, with the asking price that Luther Burden specifically is getting right now. I'm seeing him right now in consensus rankings as wide receiver 19, which would put him as a mid to late level wide receiver 2. Similarly to DeAndre Swift, I don't really want him to be my wide receiver 2. If I have to flex him, I'd feel better about that. But also, I'm a big believer in sure things, which there is no such thing of in fantasy football. But I'm a big believer in looking for the clearest path to production. And yeah, there is DJ Moore gone from the picture, who really wasn't that much of a ball hog last year. He had a few games, but overall he had an extremely disappointing last season in Chicago. And I think down the stretch, the guy who became kind of the best receiver for the Bears was Colston Loveland, which when a tight end starts taking your best targets, I'm not really sure what to make of that with how to project Luther Burden and Rome Odunze. I know that I will not be drafting Luther Burden as the wide receiver 19. I will not be drafting him in the fifth round. I will probably not be looking at him to have the sort of breakout that a lot of people are, but I certainly see the potential for that. There is that path to production for him. But let's not just pretend that Rome Odunze is going away. He's not just like chopped liver here. This could be an opportunity for both of these guys to emerge from DJ Moore's shadow and have great seasons, the both of them. This could be sort of a Green Bay Packers situation where too many cooks in the kitchen makes it so that nobody's really consistently viable. But I do like Colston Loveland this year. It's just what we expect him to look like coming out week one. He's currently listed as the tight end 3 in consensus rankings, which we saw kind of the start of this new guard of young tight ends coming through with Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren coming in at the same time. And people are very excited about both of them, and I think that we should remain excited about both of them. The only reason that people are going to be more excited about Colston Loveland right now than they are about Tyler Warren is because he has Caleb Williams throwing the ball to him and not probably Riley Leonard. So Colston Loveland, I think, is worth it as the tight end 3. I'm seeing him currently drafted in about the 4th round. I've seen him fall to the 5th. I'd be much more comfortable taking him in the 5th, as I would basically all tight ends, because I like to stock up on the other guys earlier than that. But, Stu, Colston Loveland, and then take us to the Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's just rich. Colston Loveland going in the 4th right now is very, very rich for me. This is purely anecdotal, but it feels like in the last several seasons, we go through the same things with these tight ends, and there's a series of second or third year tight ends that we get really excited about, like Kyle Pitts or Dalton Kincaid or Sam Laporta in his second season, and we overdraft these guys and they fall on their face and they're not nearly worth it. You could have just taken a running back or a wide receiver, built depth, got a quarterback like a Baker Mayfield or something in the sixth round like last season. It's just, it worries me. As far as the opportunity for Colson Loveland, I do really, really love it. I mean, somebody's going to be having to catch the ball in this offense. You're right, DJ Moore is gone. Loveland is getting, you know, he broke double-digit targets in both of the last two games last season. So he's a favorite target of Caleb Williams's, and that's awesome. It's just, I really struggle to pay that price personally. On a tight end in fantasy drafts. You and I both have been a very punt on tight ends podcast for the entirety of our tenure, and I don't really think that that is going to change anytime soon. So very likely going to be a tight end one, but the moniker of a tight end one is very misleading because tight end is such an extremely shallow position. That has not changed this year. Being a tight end one is basically like, hey, did you get three or four targets a game across the entire season and you played the whole season? Like, congratulations. You're not moving the needle on fantasy teams. You're not winning people championships unless you're the Trey McBrides or, hopefully, fingers crossed, the Brock Bowers is coming into this season. So not too huge on spending up for Colson Loveland when I could get value somewhere else and just grab a tight end much, much later. Moving on to the Detroit Lions, headed up by Dan Campbell, the old kneecap biter himself. Let's just talk about Jared Goff really quick. He's still around. He's still a quarterback in the National Football League, although for some reason I keep thinking he's going to retire sometime soon.
Probably thinking of Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford also much more so than Jared Goff, but I feel like I've been talking about Jared Goff for 15 years now, and he's only 31. He is just over a year older than me. Oh, my God. right now, going as the quarterback 16, I have retired from professional football, so I think it's time Jared Goff does it too. He's right now going by consensus at quarterback 16, so off your radar for one quarterback leagues. You probably shouldn't be drafting a backup quarterback. Let's just get that out of the way. It's generally a waste of a pick, but he's competent enough to lead a fantasy relevant offense, and I think I'll just leave it at that, James. I feel like I've been babbling for a little bit. Why don't you say your piece about Jared Goff and tell us how that beer is treating you?
Okay, I've had a few sips of this. I knew I was either going to love it or I was going to hate it, and I think I hate it. So it's
the cucumber.
It's
the cucumber in it.
I just keep taking sips and just getting a little stank face, and not a good stank face. There's good stank faces and there's bad stank faces, and this is not a good one. But anyway, Jared Goff. Yeah, he kind of seems like the most milquetoast option at quarterback you could have. Like, perfectly capable of leading a competent offense, but not someone who you really think is gonna, you know, go above and beyond. And sometimes you don't need that for real football. Sometimes a game manager is just as good as a game breaker. In fantasy football, it's not quite that, though. I don't think Jared Goff is gonna really have any way to move the needle enough to be a draftable quarterback in redraft leagues, at least in single quarterback leagues, like you said there, Stu. And there are guys who are younger who I think I would be more interested in. But moving on to running backs, we got a little bit of a new look room here. Gone are the days of Sonic and Knuckles. Now it's just Sonic and Isaiah Pacheco for some reason. So Jahmyr Gibbs is once again sitting as the RB2 going into the season behind Bijan Robinson. Same exact order as it was last year. Jahmyr Gibbs, RB2, going in behind Bijan Robinson for most people. And I expect him to produce on that level again. He is a stud of a player. He sits in an offense that should be improved from where it was last year. It had its moments of, I guess, lapsedness. I don't know what the word was. They were kind of bad last year. Okay, we expected a lot more from the Lions, and we didn't get that. But Jahmyr Gibbs was definitely a shining star there. And with David Montgomery now gone, Isaiah Pacheco now comes in. Isaiah Pacheco was a guy who, throughout his career in Kansas City, a lot of people expected a lot of things from him, and he produced very little of those things. And I would expect him not to take really any step forward with the Lions this year. He's currently sitting at the RB49, which, you know, that seems great. Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have an even bigger workload than he did last year, and he is a guy you have to have if he falls to you. But that's a first-round thing, and that's usually solved by luck of the draw. Mm-hmm. Wide receivers,
hey,
there's going to be two Lions taking the first
Jahmyr
round.
Gibbs?
Oh, talk about Jahmyr Gibbs.
Talk about Jahmyr Gibbs.
Talk about your
player.
Boy.
This is my keeper in the league that matters. Jahmyr Gibbs is... he's in the prime of his career. He's set up for possibly the best season of his career. He has a very legitimate spot or shot at running back one at year's end. He's got the highs. He does have the lows. There are a few low games in 2025, so you kind of have to weather those. But no more David Montgomery. Everything is coming up Jahmyr Gibbs right now. He, barring injury, he is going to be in the top three of running backs. You need to have him. If he falls to you, it's because you're picking second. That's really it. And also, I will die on this hill. You should not draft Isaiah Pacheco. If Jahmyr Gibbs does go down with injury, God forbid, Isaiah Pacheco cannot operate in this offense to a fantasy relevant standard. There is no way. He is not the same person as he was before he broke his ankle. He's there as a body and someone to hand the ball off to if Jahmyr Gibbs goes down. He is a waste of your time and draft capital. Don't do it. Wide receivers, I'll just lead into it if you don't mind too terribly. This is a room headed by Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god himself, also going to go in the first round of fantasy drafts. I think right now he's going as the wide receiver 4, a great red zone option for the Lions, a consistent scorer year in and year out, still in the prime of his career at age 26. Well worth your first round selection. You will not be disappointed by Amon-Ra St. Brown, but it's the other guys in there that could be a little bit more, you know, risky slash, you know, wider range of outcomes. The biggest name is Jameson Williams, currently going at wide receiver 26. Ended up with over 1,000 yards last season, 1,117 yards with 7 touchdowns for Jameson Williams. He was awful, truly awful to start the season until Dan Campbell took over play-calling duties. And then finally they realized that, hey, getting the ball to Jameson Williams is positive and yields good things for us. We should do that a little bit more. So congrats to the people like me who got him off of waivers last season. It was a really nice time. And then the last guy is Isaac Tesla. I only mention him not for, let's say, volume reasons, but he's more of a human highlight reel. In his 16 career catches, he has 6 touchdowns. So if he does end up getting volume, you got to pay attention to Isaac Tesla. James, sorry for cutting you off. Jahmyr Gibbs is just my boy, and I have an unreasonable amount of hatred in my heart for Isaiah Pacheco, I guess. So take it away with these wide receivers.
No, you should be allowed to talk about your boy. Real quick point of order for our listeners. On the rankings we're using here, these are all PPR rankings. By year of our Lord 2026, that's what most people are using anyway. But we sometimes will have a split between PPR and standard scoring rankings. But today, I think Stu and I are both going off of the PPR rankings. So we will let you know about those. And these rankings are obviously going to fluctuate across the whole offseason. These are just people's best guess right now, and it's our best guess as well. Amon-Ra St. Brown, what to say about him? Am I comfortable taking him as the wide receiver 4 in the 4th round for his best games, absolutely, but I would really love to not take a wide receiver in the first round, just based on the way that we've kind of seen the top ends of each of those running back and wide receiver positions perform over these past few years. Running backs seem to have been pipping the receivers a little bit at that top end, but if you gotta have a wide receiver one, you could do a lot worse than the Sun God. Jameson Williams took a big step forward last year, but still remains kind of unpredictable, and I predict that that will persist. Moving on to tight ends, we have a guy who kind of had an unfortunate season last year, marred by injury. I think he only played up to week 10 this past year. That would be Sam Laporta. And he was okay over those 10 games. He had some positive ones. He had some negative ones. He never had a game over 100 yards. His closest was week 9 against the Vikings, where he had six receptions for 97 yards and a touchdown. That's a really good performance for a fantasy tight end, but you would like that good performance to be one that can be backed up repeatedly, and you would like it to be one that can stay in your lineup the entire season without getting injured. Sam Laporta is hopefully well and ready to go for week 1. I haven't heard anything saying he's not. So I think Sam Laporta going currently is the tight end 8. I'm seeing him in late 9th round. That seems about where I would expect him to go. And if you are a punt on tight end person like we are, I think getting him at kind of a value in that situation is something that I would look for. If you can get him to fall a little bit further, like to the 10th, that's perfect. But I feel a little bit better about him in terms of a value situation than I would in terms of, like, I don't know, running for somebody like Harold Fannin, I think, because I think you'd have to pay a little bit more for that with probably pretty similar production. Stu, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've taken Harold Fannin every time. But, I mean, to fill your starting lineup, Sam Laporta is totally fine for a week one, barring any sort of injury considerations, because you're right, he missed half the season. Wasn't super great. He hasn't been super great since his rookie season. He's just been perennially disappointing, but the entire tight end position is pretty disappointing. If you can get him in the 10th, awesome. You've got enough depth then at other positions, and you probably already have a quarterback too. You might as well take him then before you start filling out the rest of your bench. Got no problems with that. But, you know, there's going to be other interesting names that go along with Sam Laporta or later that you could consider as good as an option or even better. People like, you could take George Kittle, Rondae Gadsden, maybe Travis Kelce if you're going to resurrect another productive season of his career. There's names out there that you could still consider that could even go even later than Laporta. But if you want to fill out your lineup, fine, whatever. I'm not going to be excited. Best thing about him is that he's got a mustache. We also, you're right, I do need to bring up the standard rankings. I'll be doing that going forward. But we also want to talk about their drafts and their selections from this past week. The only reason we didn't really touch on them at all is that both of these teams went non-skill position heavy. I think the Lions picked out a blocking tight end, and the Bears picked out a punt return specialist, kick return specialist wide receiver. And that was really, really it. So didn't really address that at all. And that rounds out week one. Week one of, what is this? Going to be 16 weeks of division breakdowns?
Something like that. But it's going to be a fun 16 weeks. We're going into this together, and we are going to power through this summer. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to have beers. We're going to keep the spirit of football alive for all 16 weeks. And on a news note, if you are a hockey fan and you happen to be listening from the Toronto area, your Maple Leafs just won the NHL draft lottery. You're getting the number one pick, and you're getting McKenna from Penn State, I would assume. But anyway, Stu, closing thoughts for us, buddy.
Closing thoughts. Go Cubs, go. You can reach out to us on our socials.
Disagree.
We've got X and Instagram, Fantasy Footbeer on both platforms. We take beer requests and or specific questions you want to hear on the air at fantasyfootbeer@gmail.com. There is also the website, fantasyfootbeer.com. There's a trend here. Just type in Fantasy Footbeer on Google and you'll find us on whatever things we have. But you can see blog posts. You can see our most recent episodes out there to play and introduce to people. It's a good time. So appreciate you guys sticking with week one of a lovely 16-week summer that we're going to have. Looking forward to next week, James. Take us home for the evening.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, Stu. Thank you for talking. If anybody wants to come talk to me about fantasy football in person on Wednesday, that's tomorrow, I will be in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field wearing red and rooting against the home team. And on Friday, I will be at a Illinois Craft Brewers Guild event pouring for Sturdy Shelter Brewery. So if you are someone who is listening to the podcast and is also that event, I guess come say hi and let's drink a beer. But for all of us here at Fantasy Footbeer, for Dr. Michael Stewart, for Indy the Cat, Pixel the Cat, Indy the Dog. Indy is just very cutely sleeping behind me.
Pixel's very
I'm James Kemp. This is going great. I'm James Kemp. Good night and good talk.
Bye.